All these thieves and parasites are panicking because now they have competition, right? And they don't know what to do because they've never been accustomed to actually doing something legitimate.
Unfortunately, this woman, I think, learned the hard way that it's not your money. And oh, by the way, they don't really have all of it. Many people are going to come to find out how fiat banks work.
Gold is heavy to begin with, but when your airport is being bombed and you're trying to escape, gold becomes a lot heavier. It's much harder to carry. And like you guys said, if you try to sell it, you're not going to get the full price for it.
Here's a wake-up call. None of these private companies operate on their own. So if you think these are independent entities that can do whatever the hell they want when they're using the US dollar, you are delusional, my friend.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Greer and Tony are with me. Gents, let's jump right in. So up first, we have big banks are potentially going to sue over these crypto bank licenses that we've heard a lot about. So banking giants like Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and American Express are considering suing the US OCC over its decision to grant national trust bank charters to crypto firms. They think that these pose risks to Americans and the wider financial system. Of course they do. And some of the firms receiving approvals have included BitGo, Ripple, Paxos, and Fidelity, and some conditional license for companies like Crypto.com, Bridge, and Stripe. So the big banks feel threatened. They've got their back against the ropes. Greer, I would love to hear your take on this one first.
Yeah, this one's incredible to watch. I think, we know there's so much friction with banks and they're trying to protect their monopoly over money. And I think this lawsuit's going to fail. I think all the energy is behind digital systems, digital payments, Bitcoin being the leader of all of that. And you can't fight the future. It's coming for you fast. And, this is great to watch because Bitcoin is meant to disintermediate people from the banking system. You know, you don't need a bank. With Bitcoin, you can become your own bank. And we're watching them really panic. And I think the final nail is the Clarity Act. And whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing remains to be seen. But I think the banks know that the end is near. And this probably also diminishes the Fed's ability to set interest rates as well.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting, the sort of how it plays out, the externalities will be fascinating to watch. I think my take on the big banks are they're garbage, and I don't like them, and they're trying to get in the way of progress. However, the one potential claim they could have that's valid is that allowing these shitcoin crypto companies to have banking licenses when most people can't discern the difference between Bitcoin and crypto, they could have a compelling case that you are putting people at risk. That said, I'm a free market guy. I think they should just let people choose what they want to do and learn from their mistakes if that's what they have to do. But Tony, what do you think?
None of it matters, man. All these thieves and parasites are panicking because now they have competition, right? And they don't know what to do because they've never been accustomed to actually doing something legitimate. They've always, had their hands in everybody's pockets, inventing, creative ways to continuously extract. And this, slows it down. I don't think it ends it immediately, but eventually all of this package, all of this cocktail of newcomers will be rendered obsolete when people realize that they don't need them. Bitcoin in self-custody, 8.3 billion individuals can become their own banks. It's going to take a while, obviously, because, humanity is, very slow to adapt to change, but it's definitely coming. And now these guys are going to have to compete against one another and actually deliver something that people are willing to pay for. But again, short term, I don't think this lasts very long, but of course, unavoidable and extremely entertaining to watch. So bring out the popcorn and enjoy the show.
Yeah, I think the TradFi moat has been breached, but I think the castle is still a long ways off. And so there's some work to be done. Alrighty, up next, and well aligned with our conversation about TradFi, a bank refused a woman's $20,000 cash withdrawal and demanded to know what she planned to do with her own money, and TFTC says this is why Bitcoin exists. Couldn't agree more with that, but unfortunately, this woman, I think, learned the hard way that it's not your money. And oh, by the way, they don't really have all of it. So many people are going to come to find out how fiat banks work when they want to withdraw and actually use their money for something besides just investing or speculating in stocks. Tony, what's your response? You've seen this story unfold.
Man, what's mind-blowing to me is how so many people are so surprised by this. I mean, I had a neighbor of mine reach out to me yesterday specifically about this story. And she was telling me that her entire community on Facebook is just like in shell shocked over how can a bank actually freeze your money? Like, this was literally like the first time they've heard of something like this. But it is coming, you know, like I said, you know, when everything reaches its expiration date, even those that are, you know, doodling on a faraway galaxy, eventually that reality reaches them as well. And so the fact that a bank is deciding what you can do with your money just, you know, confirms that you don't own anything and that they've, you know, effectively restricted your access to those numbers that you've been happy to see on a screen. Bitcoin and self-custody ends this, guys. You don't have to put up with these assholes. You don't have to answer their stupid questions. And you can give all of them the middle finger and tell them, it's none of your effing business what I do with my money. Your job is to serve me, not to question me over how I decide to live my life.
Yes. Tony, next time someone asks you how a bank could freeze their money, just pull out your laptop and just press a key and say like that. I think that's about what it takes. That's exactly it.
When you have like a $2.50 piece of shit dictating what you can do with your own savings accounts that you've worked decades to put together through hard work, you know, that's exactly what you should give them, the middle finger.
Yes. It's like that that interview with Jerome Powell a few years ago. So did you print this money? And he said, well, digitally. It's like that's all the same. Greer, what do you think?
Yeah, this is waking up from the matrix on day one is when you realize that your money is not in the bank and it's not your money. It's been lent out to other people through fractional reserve. And yeah, you really gave over sovereignty of your money when you deposit it into the bank. So, you know, welcome. You know, welcome to the real world. I think the danger here is that people are going to look at stablecoins, as we were talking in the first story, as the alternative. They're cheaper. They're run by private companies like Tether. You can use USAT. And, you know, that'll be on your crypto exchange platform if you're using Kraken or something who got a bank charter. And, the same ability to freeze your cash is true with stablecoins. So even though you might think they are better because they're digital, they're lower fees, you can, you know, interact with other cryptos, you're still living in a permissioned world. You're still transacting in a permissioned world. So I think all roads will lead to Bitcoin eventually, but paying at the bank is step one. Having your account frozen by Tether or another USDC, another stablecoin company, that's step two. And I think when you start asking people like, what's going on? Hopefully your local Bitcoiner will point you in the right direction and say, listen, you were so close. Here's what you need to learn now. Bitcoin self-custody.
Well said. All righty. Speaking of money, that doesn't work very well. So over the last 10, 12 years, Dubai has become a hub for storage of gold. And now with war raging in the Middle East, people can't get their gold out. So it's being offered at steep discounts in Dubai. As the war grounds flights and hampers suppliers' ability to move bullion out of the key trading hub. So not your keys, not your coins, folks. Tony, what do you think?
Another shell-shocked reality that a lot of people are starting to wake up to. Precious metals have had, you know, history on their side, you know, for about 5,000 years. But, you know, there comes a point where that too doesn't work, and we are living it. We are in a digital world, guys, you know, one with advanced superintelligence being a bigger part of it. Relics is all that precious metals will be in this world. It's not practical. You can't take it along anywhere with you for many reasons. First of all, being physical safety. And second of all, no one's going to want it, as you can clearly see here. For anyone who thought they made a huge gain on their gold, well, now they just got a 30% haircut. And this, by the way, is not isolated to Dubai. It may have started there because of, you know, circumstances. But I can assure you, these stories are going to spread everywhere in due time.
I think that's well said. I know we're going to have people in the comments saying, oh, have you checked out PAX? You know, that crypto, gold-backed crypto project. I see those sometimes. Like, guys, I think you're missing the point. Like, they can freeze your assets too, and we don't know if they have the gold. Greer, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, gold is heavy to begin with. But when your airport is being bombed, I think gold and you're trying to escape, gold becomes a lot heavier. You know, it's much harder to carry. And like you guys said, if you try to sell it, you're not going to get the full price for it. I think with all the wars that we're seeing around the world, we are so close to people understanding what Bitcoin is. You know, being able to store all of your wealth behind 12 or 24 words on a wallet that you control, that's offline, that doesn't touch the internet, that's transactable anywhere in the world instantly, that is the answer. That's the answer to where you put your time and your energy. So, you know, I think as the wars increase and as we see conflicts upset different cities and countries, we're going to see more people figure out Bitcoin because it's the only thing that they have access to or the only thing that's clear to them. So, you know, I think hyper-Bitcoinization is right around the corner, you know, thanks to all the conflicts that we see.
Yeah, I have a feeling there's going to be an intermediary stage where people turn to things like stablecoins because it's convenient, because it's what they know. They haven't had to read any books to learn about it. They can just spin up a wallet and then they're going to get censored because they're in Iran or they're in Russia or they're in China. And they're going to realize that it's permissioned as well. So that's when the orange pill is delivered, or maybe the orange depository. We'll
see.
The
thing is, hold on. One note about these stable coins that I think everybody should be aware of. When they become a thing, I can assure you there'll be no restrictions on them because they want as many folks around the world to think this is the next best thing, that this is actually better than Bitcoin. Look, see, you can do whatever you want. No difference from Bitcoin. And then when enough people are in that cage, that's when you start seeing the reality about the sinister plan behind this. Because stable coins, like we've said a billion times, are central bank digital currencies that have not weaponized, switched on yet. And for all of those that are going to comment that they're run by private companies and not governments, here's a wake-up call. None of these private companies operate on their own. They all follow instructions to the letter. So if you think these are independent entities that can do whatever the hell they want when they're using the US dollar, you are delusional, my friend. And if you want to keep, you know, progressing in that belief, at some point you are going to wake up with that off switch on your account, and then you're going to be wondering, how could that be a thing, right? So again, all roads lead to Bitcoin in self-custody. It is the only permissionless decentralized network the universe has ever seen. And so start taking steps to learn it and, you know, stop believing the lies that, you know, you need third-party custodians or permission to use your time and energy.
I agree with that completely, with a little bit of nuance. I think that there are already transactions being censored when it comes to stablecoins, but it's more like overt criminal activity. I think that will continue. It will go underreported. And Tony, the cage that you're describing that most people will step into, yes, it'll be a cage with an open door, but it's so comfortable that you're just, you stay in it. And then eventually the door slams shut behind you. I think that's about right. Okay, guys, fourth block found with rented hash rate since December. So someone spent about $70 renting hash rate, successfully mined a block, earning the full reward, about $219,912. Greer, you said you were looking at maybe renting some hash rate at one point. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, this is so tempting. So if you run solo miners at home, you know, you might get 100 terahash or 20 terahash, whatever you're doing, whatever your setup looks like. But with $70, you can buy a ton, 100x more hash rate. And, you know, in 24 hours, you might get lucky. So we've seen it happen. If it happened once, it can happen again. It's happened four times. Their brains is doing it. Nice Hash is doing it. There's another one that's also interesting, and it's not renting space, but it's called Parasite Pool. And if you find a block, you get one Bitcoin, and the rest of the pool splits up the remaining 2.135. I think what we're seeing is really a modernization of Bitcoin mining, where it's even further democratized. So I would say, check this out. You know, Brains does a great job of renting hash, and you can get quite a bit more in a shorter period of time than just running your own solo miners. So I think if you've got, you know, an extra $70, $140, do it for a couple of days. Maybe you'll get lucky.
Very cool. Tony, is this something you've ever looked into?
Man, no, but it's a very interesting concept that has started to pique my curiosity more. I mean, this is very bullish news, right? Because it just makes Bitcoin mining accessible to a lot more people. And this is, I think, the third or fourth time I hear about a success story using these services. So definitely something worth checking out for sure.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, Marty Bent, he quote tweeted a Daily Mail post that Britain has just 2 days of gas stored up, sparking fears of a supply crisis amid the Iran war. He said, this war is an absolute shit show. And I couldn't agree more with that sentiment. I'm curious, do you guys have tinfoil hats on this? Greer, I'm sure you do. But I'm wondering, like, they go into this war, certainly they have played out all of the potential issues and complications, right? They're going to close the strait. They're going to, you know, suspend oil production. I mean, there's so many factors when you start bombing another country. Do you think this is overlooked or do you think this is intentional? And if so, why would they do something like that? Yeah, I'll let either of you take that one first.
I don't think they know what they're doing, man. I think this today is very different from how things used to be in the past. Everything that we're seeing unfold now, I mean, the reason behind it is because the monetary system is dead. It's falling apart and it's collapsing and no one has any idea like how to rescue it. And so you are just seeing, you know, like a shit show unfold exactly the way he described, hoping, you know, something hopefully sticks. But I don't think that's going to be the case, which makes it even more dangerous because now you literally have a bunch of, you know, loose psychopaths making decisions, you know, on a whim that are, you know, resulting in the deaths of millions of innocent people. And so how this ends is, you know, anybody's guess. But I think as far as I'm concerned, people should really just get out of the way because, again, this is the mothership coming down. And when it comes down, everything in its way is going to get absolutely hammered. So sad times, man. Really, really sad times. I can't believe we're actually living through something like this. But, you know, there are ways to protect yourself. First one being exit the money that is funding all of this. You know, everybody can do it. I know it sounds too good to be true still to this day to too many people, but I can assure you, if you do nothing, you are going to zero along with everything else that is being unfolded. Protect your money, protect yourself, find a jurisdiction that remains, you know, neutral when it comes to all of these psychopathic games.
Absolutely. Greer?
Yeah, this is just a tragic self-own. And we have on the record that the Omani foreign minister on February 28th, before the first attacks, they were trying to negotiate peace, you know, and they came to the table with two different sort of agreements that they would be willing to sign on to, and America hits them anyway. You know, I also think, man, this was a major mistake. And it looks like while Trump is sort of playing yo-yo with if we're in or if we're out, you know, they're, and I'm not an Iranian war expert, obviously, but everyone says we're going to run out of weapons and Iran is not willing to go down without a fight. You know, I think it's worse than kicking a hornet's nest. You know, there are so many lives that have been lost on both sides of this that it's absolutely tragic. And I think what we're really watching are other world powers like Russia and China dictate the terms of this. And, you know, for America, that's not really a position that we want to be in. How do we get out of this? I don't know, but there are a lot of people, Simon Dixon's one of them, who says, you know, this is the great reset. This is the restructuring of the world order. And it's hard to not see how that's true. You know, if we could go back in time and undo this, to me, this looks like just a completely unprovoked attack where you had the other participant willing to come to the table. So, tragic, regrettable, a huge unforced error. I don't know where this goes, but it does not look like it's going anywhere good anytime soon.
I completely agree with that. I have nothing further to comment. Okay, guys, let's run through these last few quickly here. So number one, we have the Bitcoin supply surpassing 20 million. So 20 of the 21 million have been found. They're out in the wild, and they're not creating a whole lot more of them, guys. So over the next, 115 years, we're going to see, or 100, no, sorry, 100 and, or,
40.
125 years?
140.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, my math is public education. Sorry, everyone. We got a long ways to go before the last Bitcoin block is mined. Tony, I don't think most people fully understand and appreciate digital scarcity. And this is, for me, like, this is a cool milestone because the code just continues to work. TikTok next block. And then these, you know, these big round numbers give us another reminder of just what Bitcoin is and how scarce it is. What's your thought?
Absolutely, man. This revolutionary work of art is proving once again that it is on its way to become, you know, the most reliable and best form of sound neutral money that, you know, the world has ever known. Scarcity is real. I mean, we've passed 20 million. That means the countdown to zero is officially started. It'll end in the year 2140, long after we're gone. But can you imagine those living, you know, then what kind of world that's going to look like? I mean, I wish I could somehow have a preview from wherever I am into what that looks like. But I think it's going to be absolutely amazing. A beautiful Renaissance type of environment where, you know, abundance is genuinely a thing. So for anyone still sitting on the sidelines, you know, your window is closing in very, very quickly. Do yourself a favor and start learning about Bitcoin properly as a savings technology, not a speculation or an asset that you're buying to sell for more worthless paper. And, you know, hopefully more people get on the right side of history and quickly.
Absolutely. Greer.
Yeah, I think it's a good reminder that the last full Bitcoin will take 35 years to mine because it'll be mined in fractions over that time period. So, you know, with a million Bitcoin being left to mine, you have to look at today's big buyers and wonder how much more are they going to accelerate in purchase. I think there are about 3.5 million Bitcoin that are liquid on exchanges that you can purchase today. You know, 3.5 million. And then an additional million over the next 120 years. You know, that is not enough Bitcoin for the entire world. So your job is to secure some Bitcoin, wait 10 years, and if you forget about it in the meantime, that's probably the best way to go on your Bitcoin journey. Just wake up in 2036 and, you know, enjoy your life from that point on, having probably immense purchasing power. But, you know, I think that we are going to see a lot of people wake up to the fact that there isn't that much Bitcoin available. It doesn't take a lot of people who are very wealthy, companies, countries, institutions to start adopting it in big ways. I think that we're going to see that very soon, this year, next year, and the following. I mean, we have another halving coming up in 2028. You know, in a couple months, we're going to be just 18 months away. So the supply is shrinking quickly.
Well said. Okay, guys, TFTC tweeted out, this is a river statistic. 50 million Americans own Bitcoin, 37 million own gold. We were talking offline, so we're assuming that this means exposure to spot Bitcoin, so not ETFs, not treasury companies, paper Bitcoin. This is Bitcoin probably on an exchange, Bitcoin in self-custody, some other form of custody. I think we agreed on that. It's interesting because the boomers are a large swath of the population. They have a lot more gold than they probably have Bitcoin in general. But it seems like people are waking up. Tony, what do you think about this?
If true, this is very bullish, man. I mean, river statistics are usually very accurate. So as long as this is actual spot Bitcoin, it's very good news. It means that, you know, the tides are slowly starting to shift now and people are, you know, looking into the future with the right lens. And so I hope this continues to grow, you know, at a quicker pace, but it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I think what was it we talked about? I think it was a river statistic a few weeks ago, a month ago, about we thought about half of them are in self-custody, about 48% or something like that. So we need to get a lot more people there, a lot more people running nodes. But Greer, what's your impression of this chart?
Yeah, I think it's a good start. You know, I hope that everyone around the world buys Bitcoin, not just Americans. I think that it's natural that one of the world's wealthiest countries would find Bitcoin. And, you know, a lot of the Bitcoin mining happens in America. But this is really a gift to the entire world. So our message should be, you know, if you are a freedom loving person, Bitcoin should naturally resonate with you. The thing I love most about it is that it's totally permissionless. No one can stop me from sending it, from storing it, saving it. No one can tell me that I can't get my transaction into a block. And there's no one to freeze my account or turn it off. It's open 24/7. That freedom that you get from Bitcoin is really unusual. You don't find it in any other place. Even in America, where we say, you know, we're the land of the free, almost everything you want to do requires a license, you know, from hunting or fishing or driving your car or you know, taking a boat somewhere. Everything in our life is permissioned, but not Bitcoin.
Well said. Alrighty, guys. Up last, a little bit of free marketing for CoinKite. So, by the way, we've not tested this product. It was just launched. We're going to be assessing and evaluating it. And if history suggests anything moving forward with them, we'll probably be using and recommending this product for some clients in the future, but we're not there yet. The Cold Card Mark V is here. So they've added a big screen, fast NFC, backwards compatible for seamless upgrades. So very exciting to see new products coming on the market. Always good to have new options when it comes to Airgap, Bitcoin only, you know, open source wallets. Tony, you're probably the man for this one. What's your initial impression?
I was very pleasantly surprised when I saw this, because I didn't think the MK4 was going to be, you know, evolved beyond its current product line, right? So I'm very happy to be corrected. I thought the Q is going to be their flagship going forward. From an OPSEC point of view, I mean, the size factor of the MK5 is better for those who really want to be even more discreet. It looks like, you know, like a little calculator gadget, even more inconspicuous than the Cold Card Q. But, you know, for me, the more options we have on the market, the better it is for the market. And I'm hoping, you know, many more players who adopt the highest standards for Bitcoin security come into play, right? Just because I want no room for complacency for anyone. This is very bullish news. Again, the ecosystem being built here on the future of sound money couldn't be more exciting. This is the signal that people that are still, you know, sitting on the sidelines should be focusing on, not the price charts and all that nonsense. It's this, what's being built and what the future is going to look like. Very, very bullish as far as I'm concerned. Good job, CoinKite.
Yeah, I agree. I'm gonna be buying one and using it just up with a test wallet. See how it works. Play around with it. All righty, for everyone who hopefully it doesn't just come back in all of a sudden, but for everyone who tuned in, we appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. Go do us a huge favor. Stick around for an extra minute. You can hear a bit about the Bitcoin way, how we can help you. Oh, hey Greer, you cut out, man. We were just wrapping it up. Oh, I'm sure your thoughts were brilliant. You don't want to summarize your thoughts real quick?
This is great. Yeah. Start, you know, if you buy Bitcoin on an exchange, sometimes you'd put it in a mobile wallet, but that's not the end place. You need an air gap device. You need a cold storage wallet. So anyway.
Brilliantly said. All righty. Stick around for another minute, folks. Learn about the Bitcoin way. Schedule a call with us. Tony, Greer, always so much fun. I look forward to catching up later this week.
Thanks, guys. Catch you next time.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. impact. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.